greet you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. As I think of that last song especially is, make us instruments of your peace. There's a secular Christmas song that says, I just go nuts at Christmas. It's not the title of my message or anything, but one of the things that happens is that we are either instruments of peace or stirring up the pot that causes the chaos. This morning I've chosen to also look at the theme of giving thanks, and I've just simply entitled my message, Give Thanks to Him, Bless His Name. And I was blessed by our service today, the songs that Gerald chose even at the beginning, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. And am I truly thankful? One of the things that I'd like to look at this morning is, what did I bring to church today with me? And I'm not talking about the crackers and the toys, but what did you bring this morning? But it's a privilege to be together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And one of the things I want us to do this morning, and I think we have already, is to just to worship the one and only true and perfect God. I'd like to look at a couple scriptures today. The first one is a very common psalm in Psalm 100, only five verses. Psalm 100. And this is, I believe the heading on a lot of Bibles would say, this is a psalm of thanksgiving. And I thought of the verse, or the song that says, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. How many times do I sing songs or proclaim that, and deep in my heart, it's not there, it's not registering? One of the things I'd like to look at is, God is perfect, and that's who we worship. As men, we are imperfect. And I think it's important for us to realize that is the combination we have at every worship service. None of us are perfect. So we'll look into that a little bit more. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Reading from the ESV this morning. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us. And we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And his faithfulness to all generations. So, when we think of praise, we often think of singing. That is a primary way of praising God. It's not the only way, but it's one of the ways. And verse 1 says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. And so we can sing ever so greatly, but if it's not coming from the joy that is overflowing in our heart, I think it can kind of be like the tinkling cymbal that just, there's no depth to it. But if we have God's joy in our heart, that's going to overflow. And not just here on a Sunday morning where we're all on our best behavior, but it's our everyday attitude as we go through life. Is my life making a joyful noise to the Lord? Am I like the Good Samaritan that Josie talked about this morning? Am I the one that's going to offer a hand? Or am I too busy? Or I might get my fingers messy. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. And I think as we do that, how do we as Christians proclaim, how would you say, the light of Christ to the world around about us? And that happens, I mean, everybody here, most everybody here has been exposed to Christ, to his, that doesn't mean we don't act nice to each other, but what I'm saying is, as we go out, our thankfulness is a huge witness, I believe, the gratitude that I have in my own heart. So what did you bring, as I think of what we brought this morning, what type of thankful tone do you bring when you worship God each Lord's Day? Just a couple questions. What's the condition of your heart? And I have to ask that, what's the condition of my heart? Is it truly glad and grateful? What's the expression of our lips? Do we serve God cheerfully and joyfully, or out of a sense of drudgery? And like I've said before, as we come together, we worship a perfect God. And the combination is we are imperfect people. And I trust that we realize that part of the sanctification process is that God is continually shaping us and molding us into what he wants us to be. And we have not arrived. Even Paul said that. So it's good for us to check. So what is the condition of my heart? Is it truly glad and grateful? Where's my focus? One thing that I thought of is there are times when my focus is on the performance of whoever's leading something, whether it's a worship leader, whether it's a one giving a message or not. But if I come with a critical spirit, a wrong attitude, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to really be disappointed at what happened. If my primary focus is centered on imperfect people who are still in the work in progress stage of life, and if we expect perfection, then we will have a tremendous letdown. And when that happens, we start to blame those around about us. We try to blame others for, well, it was just not a very good day today at church or whatever. And it could be that way on everyday living as well. So it's important for us to focus on the things that do not change, and that is Jesus Christ. God is perfect. And so often my focus is on having that good experience, and I'm focusing on the wrong thing. So as we look at this psalm, even just talks about us being glad. Shout joyfully to the Lord. We don't do a lot of shouting here. But I think the term shouting is a thing of being confident. When somebody wins a football game or whatever, there's a lot of shouting being done because, yes, we won. And I think in the Christian life, I'm not saying that we necessarily have to do the shouting, but I think it's that spirit within us that says, yes, we are blessed, we are God's chosen for what he has done for us. And so that spirit of a shout is with confidence, not in me, but in what God has done for me. And then it also says, serve the Lord with gladness. If it's something that you love to do, don't do it out of drudgery. You're not going to do it out of drudgery if it's something you love to do. So how well do you like doing church? How well do you like coming to church? How well do you like getting together and worshiping God do you do so with drudgery, or is it, and even as I thought of Alicia leaving, it's like, if she goes out there dragging her feet and, do I have to do this? It's going to be a rough time, but I don't expect her to do that. There'll be maybe days where it'll feel like that for sure. But in everything that we do, serve the Lord with gladness. And then it says, come before him with joyful singing. Praise is expressed in song. Singing is not the only way to praise God, but it's an expression of joy that we have in our hearts. And so why do we do this? Because he is our creator, verse 3. Because he is good, he is God. It's a statement of fact. God is God and I am not. Know that the Lord himself is God. Know it and express it. And it's confirmed by creation. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. No such thing as a self-made man. And then it's also confirmed ownership. We are his people. He is our shepherd. Security is being his people. Provisions for the needs of the sheep by the good shepherd. And then verse 4, we are grateful. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. It teaches that there is a special aspect of thanksgiving that involves the whole people of God together and not just the private prayers of individuals. And I think that's one of the things that we need to consider as well. We're thankful for each other. I could come here and preach by myself. Wouldn't be a whole lot of fun. We did that a couple times over COVID, but yeah. But there's a thing of the blessing of brotherhood, worshiping together. Give thanks, bless his name. Thanks and praise merge together as God's people are thankful and bless his name. And why? Because he is good. Verse 5, for the Lord is good. Thanks and praise are right in recognition of God's goodness. He is good in his plans, good in his grace, good in his forgiveness, good in his covenant, and good in every aspect of his being. Confirmed by his loving kindness is forever. So long as we are receivers of mercy, we must be givers of thanks. And confirmed by his faithfulness to all generations. Now I'd like to look at a New Testament scripture as well. And one of the reasons for this scripture is, as we think of being thankful, and like I mentioned, let's be thankful for the things that don't change. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse 5, it says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as a sacrifice for the sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Verse 15, through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. As I think of the couple different things that are mentioned here, oftentimes at Thanksgiving we focus on the things we have, the things that we can do, our health, our families, our homes, and those are excellent things. Yet all the things are subject to change. All these things that we are thankful for are subject to change. And if they are taken away, what happens if that is our only place of giving thanks? So it must be something greater, something deeper. And I think sometimes we get to a place where we think, why are all these bad things happening to me? And we're looking at the things that are being, that we are thankful for, maybe, that are taken away. Change is even part of the things that happen in life that we deal with. Families can split up. Our health can break. Maybe our bank account can dry up. What do we do then? How does that affect our thankfulness? How do we remain thankful if all the physical blessings we enjoy and we look upon are taken away? Let's look beyond those, and let's look at some of the unchanging reasons for thanksgiving. Number one is our Savior, verses 5 and 6 in Hebrews 13. These verses tell us that there are some unchanging things, glories of the Lord. The things revealed here are causes for thankfulness at all times. Number one is His abiding presence. Regardless of where the path of life leads, the saint of God will never walk alone. And Matthew 28:20 talks about this as well. Isaiah 41:10. And then His assisting presence. The word helper. The Lord is my helper. Sometimes we wonder, God, I could use your help right now. And you wonder, well, why do we go through these things? But I think sometimes the reason we go through difficult things in life is to be reminded that, you know what, I cannot do this by myself. I can either be directed to the God who is my helper, or I can look at within myself or even other people and blame other people. But if I look to God as my helper, I believe I'm going to find help. I think He will help us. If we seek, He will help us. The word helper comes from the word which means to run. The idea is that when we are in need, the Lord runs to our aid. He is our comforter, John 14:16. And the word paraclete, one called alongside of another to give aid and comfort. That is our Jesus. And those are the things that don't change. His anchoring presence. One of our greatest sources of thanksgiving is in the truth that Jesus never changes. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. What else in this world is like that? Most of the things that we get new things at Christmas time. We buy new shoes. We buy whatever new. But they all wear out. Unless you're going from Egypt to Canaan, your shoes don't wear out. But we kind of like when our shoes wear out so we can buy new ones, right? But here's the thing. The things that we have in life, the physical things that we have in life, are not always going to be there. But the presence of God is there at all times. And yet there's an enemy that would like for us to believe that's not so. But it's something that is true. He doesn't change. He is still I am. He still possesses all power in heaven and earth. Matthew 28:18, we can always be thankful for our Savior. Our salvation. We can always be thankful for our salvation. Verses 9 to 12, the price of it didn't cost us much, did it? Didn't cost us anything. It's given without a cost. Isaiah 55:1 and Revelation 22:17. It is purely the operation of grace. Dead in sin, and He sought us. He called you, He died for you, He redeemed you, and He keeps you. All you did was exercise the faith that He gave you. He did it all. Ephesians 2:8-9. The pain of it. For us, the price was low, but for God, the price was unimaginable. To send your only begotten Son to a sin-cursed earth as a sacrifice for the sins, and to then have
people reject it is probably one of the worst things that God experiences, the pain that God experiences. And all of us have experienced probably giving and giving and giving to someone, and yet that person doesn't appreciate it. That's only a small taste of what God did for us. Unconditional love. And the purpose of it was what? To sanctify the people. The word sanctify means to separate from vain things and set apart for God's use. And so as I think of that, I think of us as being in the sanctification process. God is sanctifying us. And sometimes that process is really ugly and it doesn't feel very good at all. But God is, there's a process that if you realize that God's purpose for doing that is not to knock you down, but it's to cause you to look at the right source, to look at the perfect God, and realize that He is still working on us. We can be thankful for which we were so lost and wicked have now been cleansed and set apart for God's glory through the blood of Jesus. And then verse 13, our separation. He has set us apart inwardly through the redemption of the blood of Jesus. And He has called us, His call to us is that we willingly take our stand with Jesus on the outside of society. Those are the things that we think are difficult, but it should be easy for us to stand up and to be a part. If we feel the part of Christ as Christians, it'll make it easier for us to move ahead, to live life. We ought to thank God that He has made a change in us, the very fact that we don't live like we used to. We don't find enjoyment in all the things that the world is running to. And yet those things continue to be an enticement. And we realize that the times when we continue to look to the world's ways and the earthly things, we're going to be disappointed. But if we continue to run to Jesus and allow Him to be running with us as well, we'll live with a different cause in life. And we have rejoicing. And it causes us to rejoice in our everyday lives, or it should. That should be our goal. So then, we ought to stand out, and we should be thankful when we do. Just standing out and being weird is not what God wants us to be. But God wants us to stand out and live in a certain different way and respond in a different way, even in all the chaos that is in this world, that the world can see. There's something going on in that man's heart or that woman's heart that is different, that is an enjoyable experience. I want to be with that person, or I want to be like that. And then we look at verse 14, our sanctuary. We are reminded that we are living in a world that is constantly changing. If all our hopes are placed in this world and in the physical realm, then we are going to be disappointed more than we will be happy. So, as a child of God, we can rejoice in the fact that this world is not the end all of our Christian experience. There is something better just down the road. And I believe that may sound morbid, that we look for something that is better. But if you think about it, that doesn't mean that we can't have a joyful spirit here on this earth. But it also helps keep things in perspective that this world is short-lived. The time here on earth is short-lived. The things that we have here on this earth are but for a vapor. And there have been reminders to a lot of us, even in our own families, of suddenly life changing because of members of our family maybe being taken away. And we wonder, what is the purpose of that? But it also is, I believe it's a message for us to realize that my time here is short. God has given me this time as a gift. What am I going to do with it? Am I going to use it to honor and glorify God? So, as we look at the real blessings of God, let's be thankful for all the things He gives us, and let's praise Him for our health, our families, our financial blessings, and so on. And let's not take them for granted. I believe that's, we realize that everything, every good and perfect gift comes from God. But let us learn to be more thankful for those things which we can never lose. Let's learn to be ever thankful for those things that cannot change. When all the physical blessings have faded and we can find no reason to praise Him, let us thank the Lord that there are some things that will never change. In these things, we have an unchanging reason for eternal thanksgiving. So, I think it's important for us to come before Him and thank Him for what He is, for who He is, and for what He has given you and me. In Revelation 4, verses 8 to 11, the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created." So as we look at these words, we think, who are the 24 elders? And I don't know if anybody really knows exactly who they are, but I think they are representatives of the people on earth. And if that's the case, these 24 elders were imperfect people, just like me and you. And yet, they fell down. They surrendered their life and cried out, says, for day and night, "Worthy are You, O Lord." This morning, as I think of us being together like this, am I saying, "Worthy are You, Lord, for all You have done for me? Thank You, God, that You are perfect. And because of Your blood," and this morning, even in our Sunday school lesson, we talk about the husband loving his wife for the perfecting of her, that she should be blameless before God. And those are some of the things that are so exciting. I don't know if I understand it all, but if you think about it, we can stand before God faultless because of the blood of Jesus. That doesn't change. His grace is extended to us. His mercies are new every morning. I'd like to just close with a couple of verses in Hebrews 13 yet. "The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Christ Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." And that's the King James Version. And one of the reasons I read it there, it's verse 21 says, "Make you perfect." God is, I think that was the prayer of the Hebrew writer. And that is my prayer for us this morning as well. May God make you perfect. He is in the process of making you perfect. And there will be a day when we will stand before God faultless. And those are things that definitely we can be thankful for, even though we are imperfect people. Jesus said in John 4, 23 to 25, "The hour is coming, already is here, that the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way." God has a desire for us to worship Him. So let's do that in spirit and in truth. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank You so much for this day. Thank you for this time of a period of thanksgiving, but help us, Lord, as Christians, that we would constantly be thankful for the fact that you are perfect, you are holy, you are worthy of all honor and glory and praise. And I pray that you would just pour out your blessing on each one who is gathered today, the needs that we have here. And I pray that you would direct our lives, give us guidance, give us direction, give us your peace, and help us to be instruments of peace even as we go from here. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to just